tires. Said no one ever. Which is why Downtown Tire Pros makes buying Michelin tires simpler. They offer a straightforward approach to service and include nationwide warranties with every purchase. Stop in today to see the full lineup of Michelin tires. For whatever you drive, Michelin has a tire to fit any need. Downtown Tire Pros, hassle-free, guaranteed. To find out more, visit Downtown Tire Pros in Hendersonville today or online at downtowntirecenter.com.
Rain chances are going up heading into Friday, continuing into the weekend. All thanks to a cold front that is headed this way. Today, we just have a slim chance for a couple of spotty showers. Otherwise, partly sunny with highs in the low 70s. We'll have mostly cloudy skies tonight. Some scattered showers around with temperatures in the upper 50s. And then scattered showers and thunderstorms possible Friday with highs in the low 70s. For the North Carolina News Network, I'm meteorologist Amy Wilmoth in the Weather Center.
It's Lightning Thursday time here on WTZQ Radio, your community radio station. Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com, in the studio with us. Bill, the lightning is on the streets, it's in your mailboxes, and it's now on the radio. Let's get behind the headlines of this week's lightning, but let's first start by saying good morning, Bill, and welcome back to Lightning Radio.
Yeah, happy to be back, and yeah, let's plunge right into this week's Lightning Radio and a full issue of Scoops once again.
Well, there's always a thick lightning when it's budget time, and it is budget time. Let's hit this main headline. Wyatt proposes revenue-neutral tax rate while cities remain the same. Let me ask you something first before we get into this story. We hear the term revenue-neutral. I hear it. I think I may know what it means. Can you clarify? Can you give me in layman's terms what revenue neutral means?
Well, why we talk about it, why you hear about it this year, much more so than any of the past 3 years. Haven't really heard about it as much.
Yeah.
Since 2015, and revenue neutral basically means what is the tax rate you, Henderson County in this case, or you, City of Hendersonville, Town of Fletcher, Town of Laurel Park, Town of Village of Flat Rock would adopt in order to raise the same amount of money for your 2020 budget that you needed and raised for the 2019 budget, with a little bit of an asterisk there that some growth is, and this is the state law that requires local governing bodies to disclose this figures, and they all or nearly all, we'll get to that when we, in our handy-dandy spreadsheet later on, but they all have done that. They must do that before they adopt the budget. They must adopt a budget by June 30 of 2019. They can't monkey with that deadline, unlike the state legislature, and they can't cheat on it in a vast Herculean way, the way the Congress does. It has to be a balanced budget. So revenue neutral basically means what would be that amount if you were just raising the same amount. And why it's important is because of the revaluation of 2019 effective for the 2020 tax bills that go out really pretty soon, around August, September, due January 1st, 2020, those will be based on new tax values, new gross taxable values, and we'll get to that again later on when we talk about how that changed across the county and how cities in the county are dealing with that new tax base.
So as we jump in, let's hit one of your sub-headlines here that we use for our news also. Part of this proposed budget from Steve Wyatt shows that the county would not fund SROs, or student resource officers, for the county schools inside the city limits.
Well, that's exactly right.
The proposed budget.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there is a lot to – let me back up one more step and say kind of what this story – before we get to the one-by-one, a bit more detail of the county and a bit more, in this case, of Hendersonville and Fletcher, with more towns to come in the coming weeks. And that is that we're spotting trends, which is kind of our brand because we go to all the meetings. And what are the trends? So far, anyway, as we say, revenue neutral, the county's managed there to hold the line and not add to some plus-plus to that revenue neutral. Not the case with the cities that we know almost for sure about now. They're unlikely to change where they're at, where Hendersonville and Fletcher have kept their same tax rate. And they're able to say, we didn't, quote, well, they can say we didn't raise the tax rate, but it's really not accurate if you had a substantial rise anywhere from 15 to 24% or more in your taxable value. It's not right to say you didn't raise taxes. It's right to say you didn't raise the tax rate.
Right.
So we're looking at that trend. This story kind of evaluates and spots that trend and says, here's what to expect if you're in one of these towns. Your tax rate didn't go up. Your taxes, your tax bill that you receive, what we just talked about, might go up. In the county, what is maybe not the only one, but one of the highest profile areas of contention is whether Henderson County, the Henderson County Board of Commissioners specifically, would vote to fund these SROs, school resource officers, the sworn law officers that protect the children in the schools and are there now in almost every school in the county, funded in the unincorporated areas of the county and at least one, Mills River, and at least one in the jurisdiction of at least one incorporated town. I think that may be the only one. Funded in all of those, but for the four county schools, and everyone in the city likes to emphasize
I noticed that in your story.
Henderson County schools in the city limits. They don't ever say city schools. It used to be city schools before, 1993, 94?
Right.
And city-county consolidation. They are county schools. The city went in really shortly after the last year. They raised taxes 2 cents, I think it was, to fund a total of five SROs with one floater, five SROs for Bruce Drysdale Elementary School and Hendersonville Elementary, Middle, and High Schools. The city trying to get right at $201,445 from the county to doesn't fully fund them, but they thought they were being very fair and say, we'll ask you to fund at least the part of these officers' day or work week or year, however you want to spell it out, that applies to where they're in the schools or they're doing work that is really SRO sort of work. County and Mr. White's budget did not fund that, nor have the county commissioners up to now, including twice last year and once this year, nor have the county commissioners up to now been able to vote, aside from one vote, Commissioner Lapsley, to approve that appropriation to go from the county budget over to the city of Hendersonville to offset that cost.
So, again, this is the proposed budget.
Yes.
So does this city, I'm assuming, gets to go back to the county and give them reasons why they think they should?
Yes, that's accurate. It is, yeah, and I would say it's, you know, we might have been in a proposed budget some time ago. We're at now the manager's recommended budget, which this manager has a lot of authority and respect, and the final budget is not likely to change too much from this, but there certainly can be. There have been in the past changes, certainly from the manager's recommended budget. It is the elected commissioner's decision to make. So coming up very soon now, we really are on the short rows of this. On Wednesday morning, they'll have once again, and really probably for the last time, a closer look, a last look at the numbers. You're likely to see this topic come up. Which way it goes is anyone's guess, but you're exactly right. Between now and then, and it's already been happening, is the appeal, I guess you would say, back channel, smoke-filled room, whatever you want to say, where city officials are making the case that, look, we've got one other point is we've cut our request a lot from when we made it a year ago when it was $480,000, and we said, okay, to be fair, we're only asking for one for four of them, not the fifth one that's kind of a floater.
Yeah.
And please fund it.
Right. Okay. Interesting. It'll be interesting to see what happens with this story. What are some other glaring things that you see in this proposed budget that could be issues or landmines?
Yeah. Well, what we did, as you notice on page four,
yep.
One of the Lightning's patented, in this case, a real easy-to-follow spreadsheet that kind of gives the reader at a glance look at where we are as far as we know from three major jurisdictions. The city of Hendersonville, including its two special taxing districts, and the town of Fletcher, four total, the town of Mills River and Henderson County. And at the top are the columns are described, obviously, the governing body, the current tax rate, that aforementioned revenue neutral tax rate, and then the proposed tax rate. And these also, as we mentioned, are pretty solid at this point. County, it's possible the county could change somewhat. And then the percent change in gross taxable value that we also taxed with the 2019 revaluation.
Okay.
And the recommended budget in dollars, Hendersonville, $38 million. Hendersonville's Main Street Special Taxing District, $593,000. The 7th Avenue District, $95,000. Town of Fletcher, $7.5 million. Mills River, $3.14 million. And Henderson County, $146 million. And then finally, that I think a real useful, the last column has a few more words where it says key budget drivers. And so for each one, we say, well, if, let's say, the city of Hendersonville, for instance, is not going down on their tax rate and they're keeping their same tax rate,
right,
and they had, as we can look in this other column and see, a 22.1% growth in their gross taxable value for real property, there's a couple of things that are not included in there, then what is this extra money going to pay for? And this, and it's this last column that it's a sketch of a bigger landscape of things. But so, for instance, in Hendersonville, it says debt service for that new Public Works building that you can see going off, up right off the Ocklawaha Greenway there at North Main.
Yeah.
The police station, which is $11.5 million, that starts out, we have it in the story, at $470,000, I think it is. And a substantial increase we talk about and give more detail for medical insurance and retirement benefits in the city of Hendersonville. If you're an employee of the city of Hendersonville and you have dependents, you have really a good break. Totally, it's projected to cost about $1 million, where the city will pick up half of that premium for if it's an employee and a dependent. I think they pick up half now for an employee only. So this covers, and it gets Hendersonville, the discussion has been to get Hendersonville much more in line with other local governments that actually pay either that percentage or greater for their employees. So we all know health insurance premiums are very expensive. It's a tough, tough thing for lots of working folks. So this is a way to make Hendersonville more competitive with other towns and counties that are hiring away some of their people. Same with Main Street. We say what contributes to that greater cost and new downtown restrooms, you know,
yep.
You've seen coverage of, and we know
we'll, supposed to have those by October.
We'll be able to use around October.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, an additional staff person that is about 75% paid by Main Street District and 25% 7th Avenue District to help the businesses, to help write grants, to help administer programs like the facade grants. And then 7th Avenue Streetscape, you will see later in this year, or more like by next summer, I think, or next spring or summer, we begin to see 7th Avenue Streetscape improvements. And then on and on, you can see Fletcher's a new police officer, new recycling carts. Mills River is engineering work on the Mills River Valley Trail. That's $60,000. The sheriff's contract is a big part of that budget.
Yeah.
At $720,000. Baseball field, $650,000, and so forth.
Wow. Well, thank you again for the Lightning for this kind of easy to understand breakdown. I mean, if budgets can be easy to understand, you've done a great job
doing this here for the Lightning. We like budgets.
Yeah,
we
obviously.
We like politics, obviously. We like budgets, and we like to we have fun trying to look at something and make it make sense. And so if we have to sit in these budget retreats for hours upon hours, then the reader can, in just a few minutes, see, well, what was the important bottom line outcome of all that?
Right, let's boil that down. Yeah. Exactly. You're listening to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com.
In business, relationships matter, and trust must be earned. Duraline Imaging wants a chance to earn your trust and your business. Duraline is your single point of contact for office equipment sales, supplies, service, and repair. Duraline Imaging provides copier and printer sales and service solutions that lower cost, reduce waste, and simplify operations. Give Duraline a chance to earn your trust and your business. Give them a call today at 692-1301. Duraline Imaging, 692-1301.
Ladies, just in for spring and available only at Joseph Lauder Clothier in Laurel Park Village, MicroPack reversible raincoats. Designed and made in the USA, MicroPack focuses on creating lightweight, all-weather coats and jackets perfect for any season. They feature a hood, complimentary travel pouch, and are fully reversible. The hood can be pulled into a collar or down over your shoulders like a wrap. Several colors to choose from. Visit Joseph Lauder Clothier soon in Laurel Park Village and try on a MicroPack reversible raincoat.
This is Caroline from WAG, a unique pet boutique. The food that you feed your animals has a direct correlation to their health and longevity. Did you know that your pet's diet directly affects their behavior too? At WAG, we can help you tailor a meal plan designed around your pet's specific needs. We can order quality, healthful foods for your dog or cat. Remember, just like you, each of your pets is an individual. Let us at WAG help you find the perfect match for your four-legged family member. WAG, a unique pet boutique, 231 North Main Street, downtown Hendersonville.
Lewis Williams & Sons is the area's largest distributor of mobile home supplies. Whether you need doors, windows, plumbing, or skirting, Lewis Williams & Sons has anything you need for your mobile home. Visit Lewis Williams & Sons in sunny and friendly East Flat Rock at 300 West King Street, just down the street from Case & Builder Supply. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturday, 8 till noon. Lewis Williams & Sons, 692-8216 or online at lewiswilliams.com.
And we are back with Lightning Thursdays with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com, with a reminder that Lightning Radio can now be heard via podcast on WTZQ.com. Just go to On Air and scroll down to Lightning Thursday. You'll be able to hear this edition a little bit later today, and you can hear past editions of Lightning Radio. Bill, we've been talking budgets. Now let's get to some other things. I have to say something, Bill. No one writes any more clever than Bill Moss. I have learned that over the years. And you are full of cleverness in this really great story of this year's Clifton Shipman Award, which was given to Sally Thompson. So please have some fun with this one.
Well, thank you for that. Yeah.
It's true.
When people say we have fun with a little profile, but it's usually because the person is fun.
Yeah.
And what they do is fun. And somehow that translates into, well, let's have a little fun, because, you know, when you drive around town or you go there or you tell people about it, you just can't help but smile just if you just say the words Piggies and Harry's.
Exactly.
And then if you drive by it, you think, oh, that's a neat looking place. And then, best of all, if you go in and you're like, where did they get all these signs and crazy, you know, chef, the big boy.
Yes.
All of that
the
stuff.
The Shoney's
in there.
Big boy.
We talk about that a little bit in here.
Yeah.
But we talk about our coverage was of the Clifton J. Shipman Community Service Award. It's always a fun thing to cover, and it tends to be maybe more than some of the Chamber Awards or other awards you might see. It seems like it tends to be somebody that's more like a rooted native and kind of an old time business. In fact, we have the list there of people that have won it. But this year it is Sally Malden Thompson, matriarch of Harry's and Piggies, and as we say here, Sally Malden Thompson, ice cream queen, matriarch of one of the area's most renowned business families, and one of the only people who will smile if someone calls her a piggy, was honored Monday night with that Clifton J. Shipman Award. And as is, as you hope will happen when they present a award, they present her to someone, they present her background, a little bit about her business and why it's been successful and what she's done in the community and so forth. But you hope they'll have some fun stuff too. And that was the case in this coverage on Monday night when they talked about how Sally met her husband. And we say, when Harry met Sally, he was a freshman at Clemson, and she was a 16-year-old beauty in nearby Anderson, South Carolina. Sally Malden was in a carload of girls, and Harry was in a carload of boys cruising the square in Anderson on a Sunday afternoon around 1951. "Please go out with me," Harry pleaded to the other car. And Sally goes, We're on the way to church. If you want to go out with me, you have to go to church with me." And Harry hopped out of the boys' car and hopped into the girls' car and went to a meeting of the Methodist Youth Fellowship at St. John's Methodist Church in Anderson, and the rest, as we say, is history. So now we have Harry's and Piggy's. Remember, Piggy started as Piggy's Ice Cream Parlor, and I think it was Apple Annie's antique shop. Sally has been an inveterate antiquer, along with her son, her late son, Todd Thompson, all over North Carolina, Georgia, East Tennessee, to get all of those great. If you hadn't been, get a hamburger. They have really good Brunswick stew. Get a barbecue sandwich or get a hot dog. Get whatever you want. Get a roasted chicken, a roast chicken sandwich, and just admire all the walls. Yeah. Read the walls. You'll be there 2 hours to read every highway sign, every license plate, every commemorative thing you can imagine in there.
And so congratulations to the Thompson family and to Sally Thompson, and thank you, Hendersonville Merchants and Business Association, for the Clifton Shipman Award. That's fantastic. Let's move on to someone else who is certainly very well deserving of some honor and respect that has just happened. Dr. Volk, who passed away recently, just very well-known pediatrician in this town. The city honored him on Arbor Day. Tell us that story.
Yeah, this was a nice day, really, a nice day for a nice person. Contributed a lot as a pediatrician, contributed a lot as Hendersonville's first gentleman, we say, the husband of, of Mayor Volk for the past, 8 or 10 years. They did honor in a permanent sort of way Dr. Volk with the planting of this red oak on this really tree-lined now Bearcat Loop in front of that serves Hendersonville Middle School, or mostly Hendersonville Elementary School, in front of the school and out to U.S. 64. And they planted it there. There's a lot of preparation that went into it. The Hendersonville Elementary School third graders had been learning about trees, had been talking about trees. They had been learning and singing, rehearsing a song about trees called, guess what, Mark? Trees, trees, trees.
Very nice.
And Mark Madsen, who is a member of the tree board and moreover a certified arborist, he talked about the many benefits of trees, and this tree will grow pretty big. It's good for wildlife, it's good for shade, it's good for everything we like about a forest. It serves as, he called it, like a hotel for squirrels.
A hotel for squirrels.
A hotel for birds. And an oak tree in particular makes a lot of really good food for lots of animals when it drops many acorns. So that was a fun thing. We got real good pictures there. It looks like the kids really seem to enjoy the tree planting. And now that's a good memorial to Dr. Volk.
Yep, a red oak for Dr. Volk. Very well deserved. Let's move on to, I guess, one of the last shoes to drop in judges, so let's just follow through. Tyler Ray, appointed clerk of Superior Court. He's now been sworn in.
Yeah, for a year, Mark. We've been talking about these dominoes falling in the judicial system. It really literally does go back to May of 2018. But this will start at the end and go back to the beginning. When J. Tyler Ray, he was sworn in Monday, having been appointed just the previous Friday by Judge Resident Superior Court Judge Peter Knight, who had for a limited time, because state law only gave him a limited time, 30 days, to appoint an interim. And in that time, Judge Knight had appointed, he had assembled a committee of respected lawyers around town to come up to receive people who would like to receive the applications from people who would like this job, and to sort of vet those candidates, interview them, and send a short list. I don't know if it was ranked at all, but sent a short list to Judge Knight, and Judge Knight appointed fairly young Tyler Ray, a graduate of East Henderson High School and a 2002 graduate of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, a 2006 graduate of Campbell University, and now Henderson County's clerk of Superior Court. Not over yet in terms of how much you might know of and see Mr. Ray, for he must run for the job next year in 2020,
right?
Which is the first available countywide election that he must run. But that is off cycle from the other constitutional officers in Henderson County, the sheriff and the register of deeds. So apparently, after research from the county attorney, he then would run again. He'd run for a two-year term in 20 and run again in 2022. So interesting there. But going back to what we talked about as we open this part, his appointment to this clerk's job is the last of the judicial nominees to fall in the past year. You might recall when Governor Roy Cooper appointed District Court Judge Athena Fox Brooks to a special Superior Court judgeship in May 2018, that created that vacancy, and the governor filled that with the appointment of C.W. Mac McKellar, a Democrat, by the way, to the District Court judge to that vacancy. And then when resident Superior Court Judge Mark Powell retired last October, Cooper appointed Knight to that seat, creating a second District Court vacancy. And finally, when he appointed Kim Gasper, President Justice, who was the incumbent clerk of Superior Court, to that last District Court vacancy, that created this final last vacancy, which he filled,
which is now filled
with Mr. Ray.
All right. Let's touch on just a couple of, as we end up our Lightning Thursday, let's touch on just a couple of arts and entertainment things. First of all, we had Pat Tukey in yesterday with the Hendersonville Symphony Orchestra. That award-winning cellist, Julian Schwartz, will be joining the Hendersonville Symphony Orchestra for their next concert coming up on Saturday the 18th. Pat Tukey told us yesterday on the air that Julian Schwartz, it is being said that he will be considered as perhaps the most accomplished and best cellist of the 21st century.
Wow.
And he's going to be here with our symphony.
You know what we say to that?
What's that?
Whoa. Yo-Yo Ma.
Yes, we do.
So, yeah, Mr. Schwartz, we're told, is going to light those strings on fire.
Yes.
And at this, as a guest soloist for the HSO. That'll be one to see.
Yep, you can get a lot of that information on the Life section here on page 24. Bill, you got an opportunity to see Country Royalty playing for its final weekend this weekend, this Mother's Day weekend. Featuring the music of Hank and Patsy Cline, and you've got the review right here in this week's Lightning. A very good review.
Yeah, good review for deservedly so for a good show. Did you know, Mark, that Jason Petty has been paying tribute to Hank Williams for 23 years, which is 8 years longer than the country legend's entire career.
Exactly.
Which was, of course, famously cut short at age 29 when he drank himself to death, ultimately ending in the backseat of that Cadillac on the way to the show on January 1st. It's in the story, the early 1950s.
Well, not only has he been performing this and portraying Hank, but he's an Obie Award winner. He was chosen by the Ryman Auditorium to be Hank. I mean, he's up there.
Yeah, exactly. This gives that background he was an Obie Award winner for his portrayal of a different Hank show, which is Lost Highway, which is it has more detail, and it's a really good show. It's been at the Playhouse with Jason Petty before. And Jason and Katie Deal, they were here just 2 years ago with another country, the classic Nashville Roadshow. So good to see them. Her Patsy Cline, she really hits the notes. not easy to hit Patsy Cline notes. Jason Petty hits the toughest notes there are, and you know that we just are used to hearing from the Hank Williams best known songs.
Yep, and it's a great show, and it's running through this weekend at Flat Rock Playhouse. Check the review if you want to, or just get your ticket 6930731, or of course flatrockplayhouse.org. Bill, we've just touched on what's in this week's Lightning. It's always chock full of news, so thank you for listening to Lightning Radio. But to really get behind the headlines, pick up your copy of the Lightning and read it from cover to cover. Where can people get their copy, Bill?
By traveling all around the county to any of our Lightning Orange racks or visiting any of our dealer partners, such as convenience stores, coffee shops, and the Publix supermarket. Or by going to HendersonvilleLightning.com and clicking on that red tab on the right that says subscribe, and just following on through to join the growing legions of Hendersonville Lightning fans that get their Lightning by U.S. mail today, Lightning Thursday, or by calling Jan at 698-0407, or best of all, by coming to see us at 1111 Asheville Highway.
Lightning Thursday is now available via podcast. Go to WTZQ Radio, click on air, and scroll down to Lightning Radio. Can it or keep it? Western North Carolina's favorite radio game show coming up in just a few minutes.
Steps Plants, etc. is known for their fabulously beautiful, healthy hanging baskets, but they also have bedding plants.